For the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me the egg. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own beds and different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right. Thanks for listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, People Powered Radio. And Guillermo Mash here, and welcome to, we've got a bunch of things going on, but I'm reflecting on 5 years of Without a Roofing, advocacy and street journalism. And if you want to know more about this past five years, visit our homepage on WOAROOF.TUMBLR.com or Google Without a Roof. We come straight to the top. I have a couple of announcements. One's going to be a live interview here in the studio, but I did want to forward promote some programs that are going on before we get involved in our main program, which is Howard R.D., Assistant News Editor for the Chico News and Review. And he's got a wonderful conversation around his March 9th front page essay, Squeezed Out, a look at the housing situation in Butte County. But an important thing, I'm going to be there. Not that that makes it important, but I'm going to be there. Tuesday, April 18th. At 10 a.m. in the Chico City Council Chambers, 4th and Main, we have the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force is hosting a panel of city staff to answer questions about housing regulations. And that's going to be, once again, the 18th City Council Chambers, 10 o'clock. And it's my pleasure to kind of introduce a person that's going to be monitoring, I think I said that right, monitoring it. It's James Cole, used to be a housing manager, and he's here to talk about the NVHT Spring Masquerade. But I wanted to get a little bit of insights from you, James. Welcome to the studio, obviously, about this event that's coming up on the 18th with the housing panel. What can we expect?
Good to be back, Bill.
Yeah, it's always good, James.
Yeah, so the Greater Chico Homeless Task Force is going to be hosting this panel. It's going to be about different types of affordable housing strategies, and we're going to have some city staff there as well as housing providers, affordable housing providers. It'll be a discussion about different approaches, maybe some that haven't been tried in the city in the past, where we're going to be talking about, transitional housing, permanent supportive housing, tiny homes, maybe modular homes, but different approaches that the city can respond to that, you may have heard discussions about in the community as potential alternatives that I think need to be further discussed with the city and with policymakers to figure out how we can, provide a range of housing types and make it more affordable for people here.
That sounds like an excellent foray of stuff. I mean, for all people that may not know much about it, you can learn all the jargon, all the different ways that we provide housing and services for folks. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, and there'll be some opportunity for attendees to participate, ask questions, and so I'm going to have a few questions to start out the discussion, but then we'll just see where it goes from there on what the interest of the audience is. But it's an important discussion to have because we're obviously not meeting our housing need, as was documented in the CNR article, which you'll discuss further in the show.
Mm-hmm. So, James, let's dovetail into this wonderful, your second annual. Maybe I'll give you the little flyer here. I'm holding it in my hands. But James is here to give us a little more insights on the 2017 Spring Masquerade, an enjoyable evening of fine dining, costumes, casino games, and dancing. April 21, 2017 at the Canyon Oaks Country Club, 999 Yosemite Drive. And I think tickets are available at Eventbrite right now. nvht2017.eventbrite.com. Give us one word, man, why you're so excited. You got one word?
Yeah, well, I'm the director of North Valley Housing Trust and costumes, I guess.
Costumes.
If I had to put it down one word. But there were great costumes last year. We're going to we expect some new ones and fantastic costumes, fun games. A little bit about why we're here, why we're doing this. We're raising funds and providing funding for affordable housing. So it kind of goes along with your first announcement about the forum is the North Valley Housing Trust was established to provide funding because we know the resources are needed. And we do that by pooling private and public funds and then attracting other funds from outside of our county so that we can direct it to the greatest housing needs here in Butte County.
That's wonderful. And once again, that's going to be April 21st, 2017. Next Friday. Canyon Oaks Country Club, 999 Yosemite Drive, 6 to 11 p.m. And tickets are available right now at nvht2017.eventbrite.com. Any closing comments you want to add before we transition to Howard Hardy's piece?
No, you could also go to nvht.org, okay. And you can find out more about us as well and other things we're doing.
All right. It's always a pleasure to have you on, James Coles. Look forward to seeing you Tuesday at the – is that going to be in the city council chambers? Do you know?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so they're physically – they usually are in a room that's adjacent, but we'll be in the council chambers. So hope to see as many folks as possible. I might back announce that real quick again. Actually, it's Tuesday, April 18th, 10 a.m., 4th and Main in the Chico City Council Chambers. Homeless Task Force is hosting a panel of city staff to answer questions about housing. All right, with no further ado here, we're going to jump into this conversation with Howard Hardy, Assistant News Editor for the Chico News and Review, here on People Power Radio. All right, this is Gamil Mash for the Without a Roof Radio program, and it's my real pleasure to have Howard Hardy, the Assistant Editor at the Chico News and Review.
Assistant News Editor
for the Chico News and Review. And by now, if folks are listening to Peace and Social Justice, you heard Howard was on that show, a journalism show that we had done. So welcome back on KZFR.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm literally, maybe you'll hear the pages turn. That's always good radio. But I'm looking at the Chico News and Review, the March 9th edition. And it has a beautiful a symbol up here. It's a house with money under it called Out of Reach. And you go to page 20 and you got squeezed out. And that was written by Howard Hardy, and we're here to talk about that piece, Howard.
Yes, we are.
Did you have, or what assumptions did you have going in to research this piece, and what was validated and what wasn't, and kind of surprises?
Well, I wasn't really making assumptions heading into this piece, because it's based largely on a bunch of reporting I had already done. So I'd already done a small story about the shrinking apartment vacancy rate,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Chico, and I had already done a separate story about the Section 8 program through the Butte Housing Authority. So I had already begun to see the bigger story kind of take shape. Based on previous reporting, I saw this greater trend, and I said, you know, this is worth filling out 3,000 words. That's kind of how it evolved.
So for someone that's read the article and have worked in this whole housing space, one of the things I really liked about the piece is it covered the whole broad spectrum of housing. You know, it didn't, mm-hmm, focus on the low income. It didn't focus on the mid. It really kind of covered the whole broad brush of housing. I mean, would you agree with that, or what would you add?
Yeah, and that was a product of my editors, Melissa and Meredith, really pushing for me to include all angles. My main focus was low-income housing and how that's really hard,
yeah,
to come by,
mm-hmm,
right now. And they wanted me to get, you know, the voice of a realtor, a housing realtor in there to really cover all the bases. And I think the piece is much better for it. So you can really get a sense for how this housing squeeze is affecting people, you know, all up and down the socioeconomic spectrum in Chico.
It tends to stigmatize people if all you're doing is talking about one part of the housing thing. So it just really, in a way, made everyone part of one big community,
mm-hmm,
right? I really felt that. That was the biggest takeaway I had from the article. It just really made me feel like everyone's here, you know, looking for a place to be, Howard.
Yeah, we're all in this together. And then that's a big part of our mission statement at the CNR is to emphasize the community aspect of the stories that we write.
High cost of ownership, man. 2011, it was $224,000 and change. Now it's at $310,000 and change as of 2016. That's a 38% increase.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, the housing market has really dramatically tightened up since 2011. That can be a little misleading because, of course, we're recovering from the Great Recession. The price of houses was probably pretty similar, you know, right before the housing bubble burst in 2007, 2008. But certainly, the trend over the last 5 years is that we're seeing the available stock of houses shrink pretty dramatically.
You know, I was kind of fascinated. I need to do some follow-up because I haven't done any physical interviews with Chip.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your first lead little segment, micro segment, was about Mario, gosh, Chandakuma.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I got that close
of
to
Sri
it.
Sri Lanka, yeah.
Yeah. But he was someone that had benefited from a Chip program that gave him no down payment and a fixed low-cost interest rate. And he was blessed to be able to build a house in Orland.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not blessed to have to be commuting into Chico now because he's essentially priced out of the Chico housing market. So let's talk a little bit about being priced out of the Chico housing market and building somewhere else and driving into the city.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously creates some problems from, you know, the main thing that jumps out at me is the environmental cost of driving into work every day if you live 30 miles outside of town. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to push our workers outside of the community. You know, we're talking about long commute times, more increased greenhouse gas emissions.
It was so interesting but devastating to follow up with Ed Mara, but he's talking about the HUD cuts or a budget that's 5% less than what it was last year, which is the best case scenario. So the bottom line, since you've printed this article, Howard, the housing authority's telling me they're not putting anyone into Section 8 housing potentially for the rest of the entire calendar year, 15 to 17 households a month. As someone who wrote this article, what's your comment on the impact that's going to have for that community of folks that need that assistance, man?
Well, it's already really difficult for low-income people to find housing that they can afford, and obviously the budget that is being proposed by President Trump is, you know, kind of take a rusty hatchet to the funds available for these people to find housing. So, and as you said, it's kind of a, in print especially, this is frozen in time, but it's an evolving situation.
Yeah.
So I find that interesting as well. The week after this story prints, they released or President Trump released his proposed budget. So it really gave me a sense of how the people locally and you know, people across the country are going to be affected by these cuts.
Yeah, exactly. The other place, I mean, you interviewed different folks that have been successful finding housing. This is on actually had some assisted housing, but her name is Dennison.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of points around that. This is a woman that's raising a family and had struggled, but she came to Chico. So there's this whole magnet theory, Howard, about people coming to Chico. So she did. She came to Chico from out of the area. And in part of the article, it mentions, rightly so, that she saw that there was a lot of services available. And as you read through the article, you're going to find out she has a special needs young man that lives in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I found fascinating about this piece is she wanted to move here to be closer to her mom. I can't even describe how often I've talked to people, Howard, where it's like, oh, you're not from Chico. Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And nearly everyone I talk to has some reason they came here. So there's different things that draw you to the community.
Well, you know, this is actually something I've given a little bit of thought because, yeah, we have this narrative from law enforcement that people are coming to Chico specifically for services. And I think there is a little bit of truth in that. But I think there's more truth in that everybody's coming to Chico for the same reasons. Like, we all love being here. We love the farmers markets and the sense of community and the weather and the parks and the trees. We're all drawn to the same things. So I kind of find it weird that we're trying to point fingers in that regard.
To go dig in a little deeper on your, there's some truth to that, this whole abstrophification, where you take a little bit of truth and stretch it. But the most fascinating thing, I was at a city council, I don't go as much as I used to, but in January, someone had presented that people are coming here from out of the county for services. It was such a beautiful moment. I invited him to come. He's a formerly homeless youth. And he said, well, I came here for services. Mm-hmm. And I said, but your story is you were living in a car in Orrville. That's not really what they're talking about. But he said, yeah, but I moved here to Chico because they had services. Mm-hmm. So, you start digging into this, and there's a lot of youth, there's a lot of people within Butte County that have physically moved to Chico or come to Chico because we have physically more services that are available.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing to be known as a community that takes care of the people who live here.
So to add to that, because it was a family, I interviewed someone on the plaza about almost 4 years ago. They literally did come here, literally for one specific reason. They had no connections to the community. They came, she had a six-month-old baby, and they were going to let her into the Sabbath house. Other than that, she would have been living in a car.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. There was actually one comment she made, so it's so cool because a lot fits into what you described, Howard Hardy. Folks just joining, Howard Hardy, Chico News and Review, we're reviewing Out of Reach, Squeezed Out, an article that he wrote. But it's so fascinating because it fits to me, Howard, you talk about walking in somebody's shoes, because Dennison had a quote that you had in here, as long as you put your name on every list known to man in this town, within a year and a half, you're bound to get something affordable, she mm-hmm. said. My experience differs dramatically, but I can see from someone that's done all the stuff that she's done that she may feel as if you just get on every single list, everyone's going to get helped. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit of a stretch. It's not an inaccuracy because that's what she thought and what she believes, and it's a really powerful statement. But mm-hmm. as someone that's worked in this space, Howard, that's just really – that's not the case.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously that might not apply to everybody. And as she mentioned during this interview, she can really see how it would be difficult for people who suffer from disability or addiction or mental illness to jump through all these hoops that it takes to find yourself in subsidized mm-hmm. low-income housing. I included that quote because I really loved the positivity that it showed, that she felt that she could improve her situation, and she took steps to do so, and ultimately the outcome was positive. And so I just think that it was a really beautiful thing she said, and
it was
the sentiment reaching out to encourage other people to follow in her footsteps was really cool.
And it's a hopeful
statement.
It. Yeah, no, I love that you included it, because I've actually had that's a fairly common statement that folks make, but for listeners that may not know the issue as well, I was actually in a restorative justice with Michael Coyle from the Chico State, and we had talked about there was a mentally ill homeless person that couldn't find a place to stay, and we spent 10 minutes before Mike started, a couple other folks, explaining to him that, not everyone with mental illness is going to get services. So I just want to make sure people realize that.
Yeah, there are service gaps here in the community, sure, and I don't want to downplay that, but the positive outlook is really what drew me to her in the first place. I did an initial interview, and I really wanted somebody who had taken it upon themselves to find a better situation and made it happen. I thought that was really cool.
It's actually the underlying factor that I've seen, Howard, is that positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Is the positivity. The people that, quote-unquote, make it or move forward or stay happy remain positive, and they remain hopeful, and they remain putting themselves on every single list, and they get past the drama.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're really talking about the human spirit of wanting, something to look forward to, something to be hopeful for, believing that things will get better. I feel like that's a really big element here.
So one thing that's missing, I mean, you reported the truth, and it's missing. We're not building affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And I made a plea to city council in January, can you please get the continuum of care coordinator funded? And 2.5 months later, everyone's still going, rah, 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 we think it's going to happen. But I'm talking about wheels moving slowly. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard, that's one thing that seems, I haven't heard any new updates on any affordable housing that's getting built since this article was printed, and I'm not seeing a big rosy horizon either.
Well, from my perspective, the outlook is not rosy. The council did discuss affordable housing last night, so that was Tuesday, March 21st, while they were discussing the general plan for 2030. There's language in there that encourages city staff to pursue affordable housing opportunities, but it's all kind of contingent on whether or not federal and state subsidies are available And as we know, increasingly so, they are not.
They're
so not. It's not necessarily encouraging for the short-term outlook, but I am confident that people in the right places are at least exploring possible solutions. None are coming down the pipe immediately, that's for sure.
It's a nice piece to write, Howard. Want to circle back on any comments or things we haven't discussed prior?
Well, it was a lot of fun writing it, actually. It, you know, it's a pretty dense subject, or at least I thought it was when going into it, and it was really a blast to write, actually. I just found the subject matter really compelling. I mean, we're talking about, as Ed Mayer put it, it's not in the article, but during an interview with him, he said, you know, we're talking about the stability of urban fabric. So we're really talking about the citizenry's ability to stay in Chico, to live and work in Chico. And it seems to be, it's just something with profound implications across the community. And so I felt it was really important, it was really timely, and I really enjoyed writing it.
Yeah, a lot more implications past the visible homelessness, which in my open letter to City Council, Howard, I said we need to stop focusing on visible homelessness. It's not an issue because you see someone that's homeless. They are certainly needing services, mm-hmm. but there's so many other people you don't see. So many, and a lot of them are included in this article.
Right. Well, that's another aspect I didn't really mention here, is that a lack of affordable housing is how we get homeless people in the first place.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
If people don't have a place to live, well, you know, what do they become? They're homeless.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So this is kind of a component of the ongoing discussion of homelessness in Chico that has really been not brought to the forefront. I saw an opportunity to kind of jumpstart the discussion. And I hope the article does that. And that's my greatest hope, is that something good comes of it.
Yeah, me too, Howard. And like I said, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the breadth of it and how it looked at the totalitarian aspect that is housing, because everyone lives in different levels of housing. So thanks again for coming on, Howard. Howard R.D.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Bill.
KCFR Without a Roof Radio program is made possible by generous contributions of KCFR supporters and by Duffy's Tavern, a local Chico tradition since 1989, offering a true 16-ounce pint of Guinness on tap, a full bar, and the Chico News and Review's favorite Bloody Mary. Duffy's is located on the corner of 4th and Main and is open daily from 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. and noon till 2 on weekends. All right, I hope you enjoyed that piece as much as I did. Just a couple of things to clarify, maybe do a forward promo. CHIP refers to services. CHIP is Community Housing Improvement Program, chiphousing.org. And we did mention Ed Mayer's name a couple of times in that interview, and he is executive director of the Housing Authority of the County of Butte. But just a quick little intro, I do want to say this is the fifth year that my very first piece that I did was a bunch of us got together without a roof. We had gotten together in February 2012, and we planned a picnic for the homeless. That was someone's dream, to do a picnic for the homeless. So the very first thing we did was a picnic for the homeless in Sacramento. But I really can't believe 5 years later, you know, I almost sound like Bob Erlenbush going, 5 years later, I'm still talking about supportive services and housing. And yeah, but you can find more of a lot of the work I did for the first few years was street level journalism, and I've got just a tremendous amount of what I call vignettes out on YouTube. So go out on YouTube and look for Without a Roof. But no further ado, you'll hear the audio portion of Picnic for the Homeless from 2012 here on People Powered Radio. Discovery Park in Sacramento has an abundance of uses, including boating, fishing, and bicycling. Some even call it their home. Today, Without a Roof is hosting our first picnic with the homeless, providing good food, fellowship, and an opportunity to share their stories. All the fine folks in this video production came forward and requested to be interviewed at our media booth. We had roughly 75 attend our picnic, with 9 adults seeking out a way to communicate their experiences and beliefs, all for the betterment of the community at large.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good, and I like it when we had our own bed, different, and when we get our new house, I'm going to be so happy when I have my own room, and I'm going to have just a Bieber room and sticker.
Have kids and want the best for my children, and it's just hard to be in the situation that you are in with no, like, resources or help for single moms who are homeless with their children.
Where did you sleep last night?
We slept in a shelter last night. We've been sleeping in a shelter for about 2 weeks now. And before that, we slept in a motel for a week that was paid for by the St. Francis House.
Mm-hmm. But we're just grateful that to have a place to sleep at night, that, you know, and have food in the morning and get us along the way.
Well, that's just it, you know. You get down and out in life, and it's how you deal with the tough times that will matter how many good times you have after that.
Most memorable time? I don't know. Probably my friend's smile. When I walk up, everybody smiles at me. Kind of remember. It's kind of this morning, everybody was happy. It's evening.
This is my dog, Buddy. Oh boy. He's 7 years old. I've been out here for 17 years. How long have you been out here?
Less than a year, about 9 months.
We found the flyer. You know, we're homeless. We thought we'd come over and check it out, you know, because food, you know, is a plus for us when we can get it. You know, she had more struggles out here than I, but I'm here to help her the best I can. You know, when I married her, I said, till death, better for worse, till death do us part, and that's what we've been working on.
And I lost my housing behind a rape, and I went into a hospital. The police did not do a rape kit. They didn't believe me and put me in a mental institution, and I was told while I was in the hospital that my subsidy had been taken. After I left the hospital, I went to Shelter Plus Care and asked them what was going on, you know, to get an explanation of why they had taken my subsidy, and they said that I was no longer in the program and that they weren't going to speak with me.
Yeah, the picnic's nice. It's taking our mind off the situation, getting us out of the shelter.
Just to know that there's other people in your situation. You know.
Got to see all our friends, and you know, everybody really enjoyed themselves. I enjoyed myself. There was a lot of amenities, a lot of good things out of it. People reaching out to you know, those that don't have a lot.
You know, I just want to thank you, man. Thank you for your time, and thank you for the opportunity
for
to share our story. You know, there's more to add. You know, I can sit here and make a movie for you. I can give you an autobiography in about 2 hours, but you know, you don't have that kind of time. You know, I've been sexually abused as a child, raised in an alcoholic family. I turned to drugs. You know, now drugs is not an option for me.
It's a nice little affair, and we got some things that will really help us out. And
our new house, we have 2 bedrooms. Me and my sister's going to sleep in different rooms. And, same rooms, and we have a different bed. I'm going to pick Justin Bieber, she's going to pick Dora and Princess, and then they're going to have their own room and their own bed, and my name is Olivia.
And just like everybody, you know, regardless of the situation that you're in, you know, you have to be happy. Like, there's people that's happy, you know, like, they have nothing, but they're happy, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, money, don't talk. It's hard.
If you get the opportunity to do something different, to better yourself, take a chance at it, you know? All you can do is try.
Pray that God works this thing out for us, you know, because we definitely can't do it by ourselves. Left up to our own devices, we'll mess it up.
Just got back. I broke my arm.
Still off that bridge right there.
Not that bridge.
Not that bridge. Not the Green Bridge? Oh, in Oregon. Okay.
Yeah. So it cost me a lot of money. They airlifted me in a helicopter. I had my own VIP room. And my own DVD player, TV, all that.
Well, we're talking about homelessness.
I couldn't get out of bed, though. Well, yeah, I am being homeless. I'm talking about this part of being homeless. We get injured every day.
We share and get along. Try to get along. It's not all peas and carrots all the time. I mean, there's a little bit of sauerkraut in there every now and again. But
it's kind of memorable. I remember this picnic. It's really kind. It's just nice.
All right, thanks for tuning in to the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR. Non-Human Radio is in the house, and we just appreciate you listening. And I will say that I did get a chance to follow up with the woman that had Buddy Oh Boy a few years ago, and at that point she was housed. So, you know, keep the hope, keep the faith, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Fazzino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to
Beat the Power Radio.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR support.